I wore my suit for the first time. That I've just sent you a pic. It looks okay there, but honestly, it doesn't do justice. That was a suit.
Woo! You look like the Bengali James Bond. Hello and welcome to A Different Corner, a fantasy football podcast. My name's Manish Verma, and if my game week was going to be summed up in any way, it was with all the promise of a Liverpool-Man United blockbuster at Anfield, with all the promise in the world of points, points, points. I had every player playing at home, and it ended up with the reality of what Sunday night football was, which was a bit of a damp squib. 0-0. I did terribly in my game week. Lumen, I'm joined by Dr. Lumen Ali, of course. Lumen, was yours any better, my friend?
It was. But let's start off with saying that this is a very unusual game week because the game week is not technically over.
Yeah, please explain this, because I thought there was a glitch. I'm like, why are my points off the bench, which are nothing, by the way, but I'm taking anything I can get. Why have they not come in? Then I've looked at your team and yours have not come in, and yours is fairly considerable compared to mine, certainly. What's happened?
Well, what's happened is the tragic events of Saturday. I think they're deciding what to do with that. I think they're making a decision on, I think, two things. Firstly, on what to do with the points from Saturday, like Dominic Solanke scoring, etc. And it's a difficult one. In fact, it's an impossible situation, because on the one hand, from a PR perspective, because they have to do something, because, you know, life goes on, and it's a game. You know, it's a good game to play. But on the other hand, they don't want to be seen as insensitive. So I think they're mulling over what to do with that, and also, keeping an eye on any announcement of when it'll be replayed. So yeah,
I see. So I suppose they've got to work out how it's going to be replayed, when it's going to be replayed. If they're going to play the whole 90-minute game, what then happens, the knock-on effect to FPL, which is obviously minute in the grand scheme of things, but a lot of people play and a lot of people are interested and invested. Yeah. So I suppose, so I wonder what... Oh, okay. I don't know. I didn't know if that was the thing. And I was wondering why I'm still stuck on 40 points with my bench got 3 more points that will come off. Because I had a horrible, horrible week, Lumen. Let me just go through my team. I had nothing in my goalkeeper situation. What is happening at West Ham's goalkeeper situation? Alphonso Areola has now... Apparently he is fit. There's nothing wrong, as I understand it. Has he lost his place to Lucas Fabianski again? On the bench, I've got Robert Sanchez, so at Chelsea, who's got a knee injury, unknown date. So I'm not getting any points there. Then neither of my strikers play, Erling Haaland or Isak at Newcastle. So I've got 0 points there. So all my 40 points have come from 8 players. I am down 3 players on my game week. I'll have 3 points coming off the bench to supplement my 40 devastating points. So it will leave me on 43. Simicast got me 7. I got Lascelles at 6. Bowen at 8. Gordon got an assist at 6. And that's it. My captain was Salah. I got 3 and then double it, 6. The transfer I made was bringing in Pau Torres at Aston Villa. After having tried to get rid of my Aston Villa defenders, I brought him back in because I thought Brentford can't score goals without Mbeumo. They proved me wrong, and they did, although Villa still won. A horrible, horrible game week for me, I'm afraid. Horrible one. As much promise as I had for it, it would just fell by the wayside.
Now the question is, Are you going to do a minus four for next week? Because firstly, you've got to decide what to do with your goalkeeping situation, because you it's bad enough not having one goalkeeper play, but it's worse when you have two not playing. You might have to replace both goalkeepers. On top of that, Haaland's definitely out next week because of the Man City situation. Isak as well. Yikes.
I've got problems. I've got big problems in my team. I've got to settle on my defenders and my midfielders, whether I like them or not. I don't have the luxury of kind of chopping and changing next week. I have got to make just points, any points on the board. I mean, goalkeepers have been so bad this season, I could possibly even get away with having 0 points and just not have a goalkeeper, as weird as that is to say, because I'm probably not going to get much anyway. But yeah, I don't know. Erling Haaland, I mean, I wanted to get rid of Isak anyway. Is this the week to do it? Possibly. Newcastle have got Luton next. Yeah, I've got a sticky one for next week. But let's concentrate on this week's one. You tell me. You've got better news for your team.
Yes, 47 points. So my transfer was Dubravka in for Kelleher. But nice. I was cursing my luck on Saturday because I put him on the bench and I'd started Areola. So I was praying for Areola not to play, and that happened. So Dubravka's going to come off my bench with Heech and Juan. So I'm going to end up on 56 points this week, which is a decent total.
Yeah, that is very good.
Yeah.
Considering the average was 40 as well.
Now, considering that there's going to be, I had a very... This week was a freak week because this season has been terrible for defensive returns. But, I mean, I don't think this will happen again this season. But with Dubravka coming in, I'll have had clean sheet returns for my goalkeeper and my back three, which is unheard of. Mad, absolutely
unheard of. This season of all season, and check this out for a stat, Lumen.
Yeah.
Of all the games that were played this weekend, 8 teams got clean sheets.
Wow.
8 teams got clean sheets. Only 2 games with had both teams scoring in them. That was the Brentford Villa game, which we've mentioned, and then the Man City and Crystal Palace game, which ended 2-2, which we'll get onto a second. But 8 teams with clean sheets this weekend. Obviously, it was the Liverpool Man United dud game as well, contribute to that. Both teams got clean sheets, but that's not happened at all this season, as far as I know. Yeah. The most I counted was, I think, 6 clean sheets one game week, maybe.
Yeah.
8 was mad in a week, in a season where really you've not been getting many defensive returns.
Yeah. And, you know, Jared Bowen again delivered. Happy with that. Watkins got me 9 points. Haaland I left in because for me, I've got priorities elsewhere. And that was really apparent with Dubravka coming in. I mean, put it this way, if I hadn't changed Kelleher for Dubravka and I changed Haaland to another striker, I would have been down this week. So I'm so glad it worked out. I'm not gonna lie to you, Hee Chan Hwan, if he does well, I'm happy. If he doesn't do well, I'm happy. I'm happy with whatever.
Because you're basically you're countering my points there, basically.
100%. 100%.
Which is a nasty game to play, Lumen. It's a nasty game to play.
But you're doing the same thing with Bowen, so there you go.
Bowen is a no-brainer now, really. Bowen is a no-brainer because he is so good. Like, I hadn't realised how many... he should have probably scored another goal.
Yeah.
Apparently, he should have had a penalty claim. Every week, it's like, oh yeah, he should have scored. He's always in there. He's always in there. So it's like, yeah, how can I not have him? You're just doing Hwang out of spite, my friend. I'm not doing Bowen.
I'm doing Hwang out of spite. I had a decision to make between Hwang and Solanke, which I got wrong, but I don't mind. I looked at Hwang and I saw that he was more productive than Solanke, but Solanke's been more productive recently. But Hwang's, I missed out on so many Hwang home points. And hopefully, hopefully he'll pick it up again. But yeah, I mean, do you know, this is another one of those weeks where the reason why the average points are so low is because there's a direct correlation to the team of the week.
So, okay, go on.
Yes. So what normally happens is when the average points is so low, it's because the majority of the players in the team of the week have got low ownership. So if you go through the team of the week, the majority of those players have got low ownership. And that's where differentials come into play. And what's happened
that's
for me
interesting.
Is,
interesting.
When I look at these players, majority of the teams that I'm up against do not have any of these players apart from one. And that one player gave some of my competitors a decisive edge over me, and that was Cole Palmer. You know, Cole Palmer coming in was, I mean, you know, it's absurd. He's very much like Anthony Gordon, where he's just getting those points, man. He's just, I don't know how he does it, especially how much of a shambles Chelsea can be. But he's a differential. He is the definition of a differential.
He really is. What's his ownership at? He's at 21% of players have got him. A fifth. That's not, I mean, I suppose it's somewhat of a differential. In that team of the week, there are some real ones. Onana, you're never going to put in a United goalkeeper against Liverpool at Anfield, are you? Dan Byrne has been out for so long. He comes back with a goal and a clean sheet. Alex Moreno, maybe that could have been thought of because Lucadinho was out suspended. Livramento is in there as well. Newcastle. Again, you said Palmer. Paqueta at West Ham. Kulusevski got loads of points. Mateta at Crystal Palace, which is a big differential. 0.6% of players got him at under 5 million. The guy I want to kind of talk about is West Ham's other guy, Mohamed Kudus. 16 points this week. And you know what, Lumen? He's a really interesting differential. He's at 4.3% ownership. Only £6.7 million.
I think Kudus is a really good example of how I like to see fantasy football like marriage. So every week there's one guy and he absolutely kills it. And you think, ooh, been doing it for a while, you know, looks a bit tasty, but then you look at your team, especially let's say your midfield in this instance, and you think, nah, I'm happy with what I've got, I'm settled. Like when I look at my midfield, they're rocks for me. And, you know, I obviously it's gutting when you miss out on Cole Palmer or Kudus points or whoever. But then you look at the team and you think, you know what? Home, you know, it's good not to stray and it's good to stay solid. So, you know, the eyes might stray, but there's a reason why, you know, you've settled with certain players for as long as you have, like a good, successful marriage.
I don't know. I'm thinking of him as a West Ham double, Bowen and Kudus, because that's a good... They're basically two strikers, essentially.
Well, I've got a very simple question for you then. Next game week, Wolves are at home to Chelsea. Would you drop Kudus? Sorry, Hee Chan Hwan for Kudus?
Potentially, only because...
Ooh. I don't think you will do that because your priorities are elsewhere.
well, my priorities are elsewhere. It's a move that I would consider because Wolves are struggling a little bit. I really like Gary O'Neill and I'm really interested to see what he does. But he, yeah, not many wins in the last few games. He won to Burnley 1-0. And the last win before that was 2-1 to Tottenham, which is a great win. But that's really it. They've not been really putting wins on the board. And if they win, Huang's in the money, and so is Cunha. But it's a move I would definitely consider. Yeah. I'm saying I like Kudus. One drawback on him is, though, and I didn't even realize this until someone mentioned it this week, I heard somewhere else, African Cup of Nations is coming, and so is Asia Cup. In January, mid-January, Kudus is going to be gone, but so are the likes of Mo Salah, a load of, if you've got, I don't know, Tomiyasu at Arsenal. There's a load of players going African Cup of Nations and the Asia Cup. Have you even thought about, has this even been on your radar?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And the two players that is going to impact the most in terms of ownership are Salah and Son. Son's 41.9% ownership and Salah is 53.6% ownership. And the dilemma is this. It's very easy to say, right, for the duration, they're going to be out of the team, right? But they've had such big price increases. So Son started the season at 9 million. He's at 9.8. Salah started the season at 12.5. He's at 13.2. How do you get him back in? That's why it's going to be an interesting time whether you transfer both of them out or transfer one of them out or transfer neither of them out.
And just
hold tight. So lots to think about in terms of strategy. But those two are the big ones. I think you'll be very relieved not to have Son there. You know, it's very much a famine then. And obviously, the further they go into the competition, the tougher it will be. But I think at that stage, you know, the pressure falls on others to deliver, like Saka. What are you feeling on Saka at the moment?
Saka, I'm an Arsenal fan. I love Bukayo Saka. As a player for Arsenal, unbelievable. I love him. I absolutely adore the guy. As a fantasy football pick, he's now at what? £9 million. And I'm wondering, for his price tag, whether he's delivering. You can't say he's not delivering on the game. He is, we've called him Mr. Consistent, but 5 goals and 8 assists, is that closer to sort of your Anthony Gordon territory? He's at 6 goals and 6 assists. Is that around the Mbeumo mark? And those players are, you know, £2 million cheaper, maybe even £3 million cheaper. I'm not sure the goal returns are enough at the minute, and he is on my potential to ship out of the team only because I can see points, especially goals, elsewhere at other players. I mean, now Martin Odegaard's fit again, I'm actually looking at him because he always gets at least one good chance a game. I'm definitely thinking of him, and obviously he's in the assists as well. I don't know. It'll pain me to take him out, but I don't know if that money is worth it there. What do you think? You've got him as
problem,
well.
The problem we have this season is, I keep going back to the Harry Kane argument. Harry Kane was old reliable last year. Last year, more than any other year, he was a differential for me. There were so many teams that didn't have him, and I was like, it's a no-brainer to have him. Every team had Salah and Haaland, right? But not every team had Kane. And this season, you've got hardly any players that are, you know, nailed on to be consistent. And I think midfield is just pure feast or famine every week. Every team is just potluck, right? Who you got. So, for example, you know, in the weeks that Huang did well, you were flying, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, this week, people who've got Cole Palmer, you know, they're the ones who are flying. So I think this season, more than any season, it's just pure luck. I mean, I had Dom Solanke and the guy, you know, just didn't do it for me. And then he has a home game against United. I didn't think he'd score. And he plays, and, you know, so, you know, Dom Solanke, he performs. So in two games on the bounce. So that's the challenge. I think luck plays more of a factor this year than any other year that I can remember.
I want to counter that a little bit, just because I wonder whether, yeah, of course, luck has a big part to play, but I wonder whether this year above any other year, because you were going to stack your team with Haaland, Kane, and Salah the last few seasons, last season certainly, but now that Kane's not there, you've got to be. Money is not actually an issue. Money is not an issue this season. Everyone is that Leonardo DiCaprio meme from Wolf of Wall Street, that gif where he's just raining money down. Everyone can be like that. They can splash their cash wherever they like. But this year of all, you have to be smart about it. You have to really pick those guys. I think this year of all years is really weeding the very, very good players out from the rest, because you have to be like, you know, money's not an issue. You just got to pick the right guys every week this season. You can't just rely on bankers.
Here's what I mean. I'm going to give you four fixtures now, right? Mm. And I want you to tell me, in order of difficulty, these fixtures, right?
Mm-hmm.
First fixture is Man City away.
Mm-hmm.
Second fixture is West Ham at home. Third fixture is Newcastle at home. And fourth fixture is Forest away. So what out of those four games, what would you say is the easiest game?
Forest away.
You'd say Forest. Forest away. And then you'd say West Ham at home, right? Because, you know, and then maybe next up Newcastle at home, and the toughest game is Man City away, right? So you wouldn't expect the points to come against City and Newcastle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, except my player, the one I'm talking about, scored 2 against Forest, 2 against West Ham, 10 against City, and 17 against Newcastle.
Who's this?
Son Heung-min. That's what I mean when I say that's the frustration for me, in terms of it's on any given week. You could have Kudus 1 week and he might blank against an easy game, right? And then next game he might just kill it. That's what I'm talking about. It's just, you know, 56 points this week. You know, I'm still amongst it, but I've been overtaken in one or two of my mini leagues.
Well, let's see where you are. Overall, 88,000 Loom, and you're still in that bracket of play of teams. Wow, 88,000. I've dropped badly. I've dropped about 150,000 places or so. I'm now 300,000th in the world. Goodness me. But you've done very well this week. Bench has been your savior. I think this was a week for the strength of your benches. And I think we're getting into that December. Basically, the next few game weeks is a bit potluck. And I wonder if it's just the strength of your squad rather than the strength of your 11, because you know there's going to be chopping and changing, injuries. You don't know who's fit, who's not fit. My team this week certainly showed that. It's been a game week of, the next few game weeks is just going to be the whole squad game. Yeah. It's going to be tricky, going to be exhausting.
On that basis, how are you feeling about next week in terms of your team?
Oh, mate. Like, we know my goalkeeper situation's terrible. My striker situation is terrible. There are a few interesting fixtures, but I mean, where are the bankers? Newcastle away to Luton, that potentially. I've got three Newcastle players, but who's playing? I'm not sure. Fulham at home to Burnley, is that a banker? Fulham have been good form. They lost, obviously, 3-0 at the weekend, but they've been good form other than that. I mean, where are the... Villa at home to Sheffield United. You would have thought that is a home banker. You would have thought that's a clean sheet home banker, you would think, anyway. Liverpool-Arsenal is a real, real tasty one. What? Just quick thoughts.
It's not.
Quick thoughts
it's
on
not,
Liverpool it's United.
Not, it's not tasty.
It's a tasty one because... Liverpool.
It's not tasty.
It is.
It's not tasty. Liverpool are not a good team. They showed it yesterday. I've been talking about it all season. They fluked their way to the top. They're only going to go down now. If Arsenal don't win next weekend, they don't deserve to win the league. I mean, Liverpool, I mean, there's no cohesion. It's just this season, two things have saved us. Well, three things. Number one, just individual moments of brilliance. Number two, our bench has come to the rescue time and time again. And number three, you know, our attitude when we go behind. But on the whole, we've been terrible this season. I'm just relieved that we're in the top four because I cannot tell you how mad I was yesterday. I was mad before the game because of the amount of Liverpool fans who were talking nonsense, right? Just because you're top at this stage of the season doesn't mean anything. Just because you beat a team last season doesn't mean anything. And we got punished for the most sloppy play in the final third. I mean, there's very few players in my time that I can say I've disliked. But Darwin Nunez, just there was one moment where, you know, the ball was live in play and he could have chased it. But instead, he turns around and he's appealing for a penalty that not a single other player on the pitch has appealed for.
I mean, that
summed it up for me. Arsenal, you know, the only thing that's stopping Arsenal from winning the league is their goalkeeping situation. Otherwise, they've got everything. I hear all this stuff about, oh, you know, they don't have a 20-25 goal striker, but they don't need it. Last season, they had three midfielders who scored 15 goals each. They don't, you know, it's their goalkeeper. But other than that, honestly, Arsenal should. Arsenal, all that's stopping them from winning it is the mental side of things. But next Saturday should be a cakewalk for Arsenal.
There was the word arrogance being bandied around about Liverpool yesterday. And my only thought coming into it, I thought it was a home banker against United. You spanked them last season. That even worse this season. I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be a bloodbath. And the phrase, the word kept being used against them was they came into it a bit arrogant. And my thought was not, I didn't think of arrogance, which I'd like to get your thoughts on. But my worry was, I think Liverpool perform when they know they have to bring it. When the opposition is going to bring it, they will bring it. So that's why we've had such good games against Liverpool. Man City games have been just blockbuster accounts, right? But Man U weren't good. And I feel like Liverpool just dropped to that level of like, they should have just walked them over, surely.
Well, a few things to consider. Firstly, you know, if you can't beat this Man United team, then you've got no hope. Secondly, it was just the sloppiness of the play. It was just absolutely terrible. Thirdly, I've been telling you for weeks, we've been playing badly and we've been getting results. You know, against Palace for 75 minutes, we were terrible. What was annoying for me was I knew that this would not be an easy game because of all the build-up around it. But I expected us to at least, you know, do something, right? At least do something. The fact that we didn't do anything, and, you know, the in the final third in particular, the passing was awful. The finishing was awful. The decision-making was awful. And, you know, it was an unacceptable performance. I'm not overreacting here. It was an unacceptable performance. It was an unprofessional performance from players, you know, there who just did not show up. One of the funniest memes I saw this weekend was, you know, the Africa meme where he points to his head.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, where it said, Liverpool perform when they go behind. So don't go behind. Don't let them go behind. Which is what you're talking about. But look, honestly, I'm telling you this as someone who watches every Liverpool game. We are not a good team in terms of league aspirations, right? We're a team that's firmly in the Champions League race. That's about it. The league table is an aberration. Over the course of a season, I've said this to you before, over the course of the season, it will correct itself, right?
Do you think so? Liverpool are on 38 points. Arsenal are on 39 points. Aston Villa are on 38 points as well, by the way.
And the reason why I'm so mad is because if we'd won yesterday and if we'd beat Arsenal, we wouldn't have won the league, but we would have had that little cushion at the top. You know, that margin for error. But honestly, if you guys don't win next weekend, I don't know what to say.
Man City are on 34 points. A very quick just note on Man City. We know Pep Guardiola is Thanos. He needs to click his fingers and he'll wipe out the half the universe. We know this already. But Lumen, they're on 34 points. They haven't won for a few games. I think they've had one win in the last six or something like that, which has only happened to Pep, I think I heard, once ever before in his career.
Yeah.
They were 2-0 up. They drew 2-2. Haaland is out. We don't know when he's back. De Bruyne is out. I don't know when he's back. Is the door open?
100% it's open. And that's another reason why I'm so mad about Liverpool. Liverpool decide to challenge for the league in a season when Man City are also good. And the season that Man City are bad, we decide, you know, to fluff it. And that's another reason why I'm mad. I think there's been a lot made about, you know, Man City is hard to sustain, especially when after you're in trouble. For me, it's very straightforward why Man City are in the situation they're in. They lost Gundogan, who has been unbelievable for them in clutch moments season after season. They lost Mahrez, who performed every time he played. And their replacements have just not been good enough. Doku, I'm not going to be harsh on him because it's, you know, he's not had long enough. But the likes of Matias Nunez, Calvin Phillips, you know, these guys, they've messed up in their recruitment big time. The door is open. I think I honestly think, and I'm being deadly serious here, it's on a plate for Arsenal. Absolutely gift wrapped for Arsenal this season, considering where they were last season, considering the improvements they made this season, right? They need to sort the goalkeeping situation out. Other than that, it's on a plate for Arsenal. It's absolutely on a plate.
Talking about sorting goalkeeping situations out, I need to sort out my goalkeeping situation.
Sorry. I noticed you haven't responded to anything I've said because you don't want to comment on Arsenal and their chances, but they are. You have to say something.
Okay, sorry.
I'm not going to let you get away with backing away from this.
We are in a healthy position. I was comforted this weekend because Brighton spanked us last season, the same fixture. They absolutely tore us apart. And we basically put in a very comfortable, confident, dominant performance over them. to get a clean sheet, to score two goals. That's the kind of victory I love to see. I don't love to see the 2-0 down, then 3-2 up in the last minute of games. I hate that. I just want to see, just get the job done. And we have been getting the job done most games this season. So let's see. We are not even halfway through the season though, Lumen. So we've got a lot of football to play. Let's get back to the fixtures because there's one more. And there is Spurs versus Everton. What are you thinking of that one for the next game week, by the way?
I'm thinking I'd love to have Mikalenko in my team. That's
Get out of it. They're not keeping a clean sheet away to Spurs. No way. I'd love to have Son in my team. How about that? Touché, my friend.
Son, we've been through this. You know, feast or famine. I mean,
yeah, I know.
Forest away. They score two goals and he's got no involvement. You know,
that can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? I was so close this game week to taking out Jared Bowen and putting in Son. I'm so glad I didn't this game week of all game weeks. I'm thinking of it for next game week, but I was really tempted to this game week, but I'm so, so pleased I didn't. Last of all, oh, sorry.
Well, sorry, before we go there, I actually told you what to do with your team last week, but you didn't listen to me. I told you to bring Pedro Porro in.
You're right. In fact, he features on our... We're going to end the show with the I'm Your Man, which is one of George Michael's greatest hits. Out of the two players I'm going to mention to you, Lumen, I want you to tell me who's your man. Who would you rather have in your team? Named after, of course, the George Michael hit, I'm Your Man. The first one is Cole Palmer, Anthony Gordon. I'm Your Man, but who is your man?
Oh, God, this is such a horrible one because they're both feast or famine players. Gordon does it more at home. Palmer is basically on Chelsea's form. But I would, based on where their teams are at now, I'd go for Gordon just slightly, ever so slightly.
Chelsea's fixtures they're turning now, aren't they? Chelsea have got some interesting ones. They have got Wolves away. They've got Palace at home after that. They've got Luton away after that. Then Fulham at home after that. They've got some nice fixtures coming up. And I think Cole Palmer, if he's not already in your team, might be on your radar, I would have thought, for many players. Next one. We've talked about him earlier this show. Mohamed Kudus versus Dejan, is it Dejan Kulusevski?
Yeah.
But Kudus versus Kulusevski.
Interesting one this. Interesting one this because I've never not really had a chance to talk about this before, but I'd go for Kulusevski. And it's interesting because Liverpool signed Luis Diaz and Spurs wanted him. Liverpool got Luis Diaz. So Spurs got Kulusevski. Luis Diaz had a good 6 months and then he got injured. He's never been the same player ever since, right? I would, you know how we always do comparisons of different players, right? I would say Kulusevski is in a group with two other players and they're all very similar. And the other two are Jack Grealish and Luis Diaz. Very similar players, play out wide, you know, dribblers, don't get enough goals or assists. And out of those three, Kulusevski is my guy. I would take Kulusevski over Luis Diaz and Jack Grealish.
Interesting.
Kulusevski, when I watch him, he has so much game intelligence. He's a very intelligent player. And fantasy football-wise, Kudus, I think it's a phase. I think if you look at West Ham, it's Kudus now. It was James Ward-Prowse before him, you know. So it's Bowen's always going to be there. So Kulusevski on that basis.
Nice one. Kulusevski also has 5 goals, which is the same as Bukayo Saka this season. Yeah. Okay, the next one. I'm Your Man, Dominic Solanke versus Nicholas Jackson.
Solanke, easy, because they will, you know, if they're going to get points, Bournemouth, it's got to come because of Solanke, and Chelsea aren't in the best of shape. So Solanke, 100%. Jackson's the guy, five quiet weeks, and then bam, he hits you with like a, you know, 10, 12 point week. So, you know, whereas Solanke is more consistent.
Nicholas Jackson is now the fourth top scoring striker on the game. He's the fourth top scorer on the game. He's got seven. I'm going to start with that all again. Nicholas Jackson has got seven goals now this season. The player that we've slated isn't too bad a return considering, and with Chelsea's fixtures turning, I'm thinking it's quite interesting.
Which is a damning indictment of where the league's at in terms of quality. Simple as that.
Next one, Pedro Porro versus Trent Alexander-Arnold. Who's your man?
Not even a question. I mean, Pedro Porro for the price.
Wow.
It just makes so much sense than Trent. So much sense than Trent.
Last one, another defensive one. Because he's back now, I think is an interesting one. Dan Burn versus William Saliba.
It's an interesting one because I got Saliba out because of my wild card. Then he got points. Mm. And then I brought him back in and he stopped getting points. So, you know, it's a tricky one, that is. I think what's interesting about that, both of them, is can you get alternatives from their respective teams for cheaper?
Yeah, yeah. Are you thinking of Livramento?
I'm thinking of Lascelles and Gabriel.
Fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I must say I do like Livramento. Got 9 points this weekend. He's up 4.4 million. And they've got some, Luton away, Forest at home next. But then they've got Liverpool and Man City after that. And then Villa after that. Gosh, they've got some tough ones in the start at the start of the year. Oh, have you already thought about what your transfer is for the next week?
Yeah. I am looking, I've been looking for ages at the players on the fringes and getting them out. And one of them is Mark Gahey. Palace just have not been good defensively. So I need to get Gahey out. What about you?
I mean, where do I start, Lumen? I could easily do a -8 this game week and justify it because I just don't know where my squad is at. And all of a sudden, it feels like an overnight thing. I mean, I was looking at my goalkeeper situation whilst on this call, and the obvious name to put in is Martin Dubravka. I noticed you have him, and then I realised I've already got three Newcastle players. How could I even possibly do that? So I can't even do that. So I've got a headache on my hand. But on that note, on that headache, let us call it a day. I will speak to you after the next game week where I hopefully will put up more points than the average, I hope. Let's see. But anyway, thank you very much, my friend.
Pleasure. And hopefully everything works out this game week. And hopefully next week is an interesting one as well.